You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Episode 428 of After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Reminder, if you're looking for something to do for the solar eclipse, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com and check out what they have going on at all their properties. And obviously, this is a big event. Craig didn't know about it until last week, but now he's gone ahead and made all these elaborate plans for the eclipse. I got some bad news last night.
What's that?
I think it's a worse loss than the Sabres loss last night, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Went down to my local establishment there in Orchard Park.
Okay.
I've mentioned it on the show here before. Ordered myself a steak stroganoff. Remember the steak stroganoff conversation from a while ago?
Yep.
So it was just a special item on the menu. Then they put it on the menu. Called down last night, ordered a stroganoff, went in and picked it up, and the lady says to me, "It's a good thing you ordered this tonight, because I don't know how much longer it's going to stay on the menu." What? What did you just say? So
Right. Here's
my last push. This is my last push to keep the stroganoff on the menu. This is it right here. OP Social in the village of OP. Great bar area. Great stroganoff. Great pizzas. Go check it out. They didn't pay for my food, so it's not like that's like a free promo. I'm just telling you, I want the stroganoff on the fucking menu still. All right? That's just like a safety net. You know what I mean? Hungry fella. Anyway,
Edie, I'm really upset about your beef stroganoff. But I think we have much more important things to talk about today, and literally watching the game last night, just watching. I'm emotional. I'm angry. I do not like what I see with this hockey team. Tell me if I'm just too hard on them. Tell me if I'm crazy. Tell me if it's a one-off game, which we all know it's not a one-off game, because it's been shit all year. I mean, it's not good hockey. This is not good hockey. We have some very talented hockey players that keep this team afloat. But after that, I mean, it's a spot for sore eyes. Am I wrong if I'm this angry right now? Because I'm a lot angrier than Don Granato, right? I'm really, I think he's almost getting numb to just being a loser and having multiple players make shitty ass mistakes. And I just don't get it. I don't get watching this team. I'm super frustrated. To me, they look like they quit last night. They look like they quit. You get up 2-0. You play so well. You're in a position. You're on the road. It's now time to have some maturity, which we all talk about development and maturity. These guys are going to learn. They're not fucking learning shit, man. They're not learning anything. There's so many players on this team that should not be on this roster. It is just mind-blowing. With 13 years of high-end draft picks, of watching shitty hockey, how this team is not better at this point.
I just want a new coaching staff in the offseason. I want new players. You literally have five guys on this team that you could truly, truly build around.
Why don't we break this down? Let's break this down. How many games are we into the season right now? How many?
Enough to say that it's done.
Well, that's very clear. But I'm trying to look at, you know, there's 11 games left in the season. They're basically playing 500 hockey. In my impression, it's just my impression of watching this team play. I know they're 500, but I honestly believe this team, it feels like they've played worse than 500 hockey. They have nights where they all their skilled little soft players get their point night, score some goals. And then there's a whole lot of games where we watch where this is not an NHL hockey team.
I just have never seen a bigger group of chicken shits in my entire life.
They're not all chicken shits, Petey. That's a really, really frustrating.
I didn't say they all were.
Yeah.
But I have not seen a bigger group of chicken shits in my life on one team. I don't give a fuck how that sounds. Jordan Greenway, 6'6", 236. I'm going to say it again. He should be 5'3", 150. It's a fucking joke.
You know, we were pretty
scared
tough
of Evander Kane. Evander Kane was yelling at Jordan Greenway and just going at him. And what did Jordan Greenway do? He fucking smiled. Same thing that happened in Detroit. He fucking smiles when he goes to the fucking bench. What's going to motivate him? You know, Vander said, oh, I'd love to see Netflix follow him around, how chill and relaxed the guy is. Well, maybe that's his problem. Maybe he is way too fucking chill and way too relaxed. Because this guy is single-handedly holding back himself and holding back helping his team. Because he played, Greenway is a beast. Yeah, he's like Marmaduke. He shows up once every five games. Fucking sick of it. $3 million? I don't give a shit.
What do you think Kevin Adams is thinking?
Donnie's fucking safe for another year because he's got a contract. They're not going to pay him. Why would a billionaire pay a guy $1 million or $2 million to not be here to bring in someone better? I don't know, because he doesn't give a fuck about the team. That's a big way of putting it. I ran into someone the other day at the grocery store. Okay, used to play hockey. Actually, he's a lawyer in town, and he was a goalie when he played hockey. And I've actually known him for a very long time. And I asked him, I said, are you Sabres fan? He's like, I used to have seasons. He's like, I got to be honest with you, man. He's like, I have not watched any Sabres hockey in the last 5-6 years. He's like, I just don't. He said, it's just not hockey. Keep hiring your friends. Bring another guy over from Harbor Center. Let's just, the Buffalo Sabres should be the Buffalo Nepotism Sabres. That's what this organization should be called. And that's that. Am I too negative? No. Is it the 8-3 loss to Edmonton? No. It's just another season gone. nothing done in the off season last year. And I have no fucking hopes for the off season this year in free agency. Now, can he pull off some trades with the currency? I guess we'll see. Is Terry Pegula that trusting of Kevin Adams to go and make these moves for his franchise? The entire organization from top to bottom has a mindset of 10-ply toilet paper. It is as soft as it possibly can be. Your players are soft because they're pampered. Your players are soft because your GM's buddy-buddy. Your players are soft because the owner and or the GM's wife and kids are all fucking hanging around, the wives and the girlfriends. Like, it's one big fucking happy family around here. And I've never seen or heard anything like it. You want a fucking romper room team? You got one. You want to watch Romper Room? Anyone remember Romper Room? The Buffalo Sabres are Romper Room. You have four pieces on this team. Four, maybe five that I could look at you and say, we need to move forward with them. Thompson, Tuck, Darlene, Byram. Gonna throw Paterka in there. Cousins, I don't know.
He's the one that sticks out to me the most because I think he's a really good hockey player, but I think he's almost being tarnished. I think in his brain, he's got pressure on him to literally be one of the top, you know, one or two or three players on the offense.
But he doesn't look like the Dylan Cousins that was 20 years old. Throwing his body in New York. No. Hold on a second. Are you telling me this is the same Dylan Cousins that we saw when he was hungry to earn that contract? I don't. He's not the same Dylan Cousins. Doesn't throw his body around as much.
Throw your body around? If you throw your body around, then you might have to fight. You might get in some physical altercations. And this is just me and what I have watched from Dylan, that nastiness, that physicality, that we all know how skilled he is. We know that he can shoot the puck and score goals. We like how he works. But that after stuff, the physical presence, the guy who wants to be a little bit nasty, I think Dylan Cousins has shied away from all of this.
That's gone.
Because he knows that there's nobody on this team has his back.
Okay. Well, then just go do it anyway. And then have the team be like, fuck, we can't have Dylan getting fucking pounded like this. We need to go and help him. But if you have someone like that who disappears, well, it's like, how do you identify what you really need? Why would he change his game? What kind of fucking attitude is that? You're getting paid $7 million. You're going to say that, no, fuck, no one else has my back, so I'm not going to go do it either? Fuck you.
No,
you think I felt that way? You think it was nice when I would crawl over the boards and I'm like, I hope you guys are comfortable back there on the bench getting ready for your next fucking power play and everything. Just so you know, I'm going to line up next to Colton Orr or Eric Goddard or fucking George LaRocque or Brian McGrath or fuck any of those guys. You think that I fucking look back and I was like, fuck, I wish I was one of you guys. No, I didn't have a fucking choice. And neither should he, because that's what he's being $7 million for. So he may never score 31 goals again.
He might score 31 goals, but it probably won't be here in Buffalo.
Okay. Well, that's a fucking shame.
Because I'm going to tell you this, the way this team's going is they're doing it again. They're doing it again. I'm sitting there watching Rasmus Dahlin, who's literally the biggest goddamn rock star of all time. The way that he plays the game, he's physical. He adds literally most of the offense from the back end. You know, like, I mean, if they didn't have Darlene, this team would be in shambles. And I mean shambles. He plays the game the right way all the time. He's super highly competitive. And I said this years ago. I said this two. I said it three. I said it 4 years ago. Teams were going after Darlene. They were targeting Darlene because other teams, yes, they understand how to play the game. Okay. When you are playing teams, you want to target certain guys to try and get them off their game, blah, blah, blah. I watched Darlene out there. He is working so hard. He's getting frustrated. He's getting very, very, very frustrated because of the shit that he's supported with.
Yeah.
Like, why did Jeff Skinner get scratched last night? Jeff Skinner wasn't scratched last night.
Oh my God. Could you imagine the media reaction if you scratched Jeff Skinner around here? How could you scratch Jeff Skinner?
He fucking shouldn't play. I'm telling you right now.
How the fuck did John Tortorella scratch their captain? Oh, wait a minute. No. And then he scratched him again. This fucking team is managed like a bunch of kindergartners. Okay. I'm telling you right now, I'm not just trying to be mad and say things because I want a reaction. That's not what I'm saying. I look at this team and I think everybody that I look at that runs the team is a fucking joke. Sorry, but it's fucking true. And I just want the owner to sell the team. Like, I just want the, do you know that people want the owner to sell the team? And I was at an event the other night and everybody came up to me and they're like, oh my God, we weren't allowed to say it around the office, but fuck, you were so right about what you were saying about Pegula and the ownership and all that. But they're not allowed to say that. Obviously. But they were happy I said it because they want Pegula to sell the team. Guy's never around. He doesn't give a fuck. Like, this was Kim's thing anyway. Just sell the team. That's it.
I would hate to be in Kevin Adams' position currently right now because I know that he's watching the game. I know that he's a hockey guy. I think he's starting to realize that for the first time that he's going to have to start to make some tough decisions. This team is very clearly not anywhere near where they need to be. I know they're 500, but let me tell you something. The values of a Buffalo Sabre right now, I think is very, you know, not values, poor choice of words. What am I trying to say, Petey?
I have no idea.
You know, for an example.
The worth of the players or what? No, value? Their internal moral values or?
The way that the players come to the rink right now and the way that they prepare for games, every single team in the league, every single one, whether you're Chicago or San Jose, who are the two lowest teams in the league, every single night, those players are coming to the rink to win hockey games. That is the focus of any hockey player that's ever played this game. Not one single hockey player has come to the rink and not wanted to win. That's what this game is about. It's all about winning. But I feel the environment right now is so soft and it, there's not like how Don Granato can sit there and have five goals scored on his hockey team, walk up to a podium with his smiley little face and just answer the same questions that he has for 71 games where, I mean, the people at home are so beside themselves watching this team that I think a lot of people are just quitting on this team. They're not watching them anymore.
I went into a bar last week and there was a Sabres game on. They didn't even have the fucking game on. I'm not even joking with you. I was like, Sabres are playing. And they're like, oh, you want to watch it? Nobody in there wanted to watch it. They wanted to watch college basketball and everything else. And I was like, can we just have it on this mini TV over here? With my son getting a pizza somewhere. And they didn't have the fucking game on. People don't fucking care. They don't care. Yeah. And you know what's funny? I said this to someone who actually advertises with the team. I'd be like, if I were you, I'd be fucking pissed. I'd be pissed. Because I see how much money you spend on advertising and all this shit, and no one sees it. No one watches the broadcast anymore. No one makes it to the third period to see your segments. It's a shame that you spend that much money. I said, if I were you, I'd ask for a refund. False hope this year. We got false fucking hope. And here we are.
Rusick, he's a minor league hockey player.
He'll be here next year.
Tyson Jost is a minor league hockey player. He should not be playing in the National Hockey League. He's making $2 million on a one-way salary.
I'd be fine with Tyson Jost in the lineup every now and then if it was on $800,000.
No.
Literally for 6-7 minutes a night, $800,000. Not on this team, not anymore, because we need new bodies, but $800,000.
I don't need a player like Tyson Jost in my lineup. What is the value of Tyson Jost? The only thing that he does is he is a minute eater to give the top players rest. He goes out, he spends his 45 seconds on the ice, and then he comes back to the bench, and our good players go out and actually play and try and help win a hockey game. Tyson Jost does nothing. He does nothing. The other night, where we were quite angry with what had happened, he only played 6 minutes that night, or 7 minutes that night. He gets on the ice with one of the top defensemen that is playing 23, 24 minutes a night, that has 45 points. The defenseman's name was Roenick. He drops his gloves with Tyson Jost because they were jarring back and forth. Tyson Jost gave him a shot in the mouth. What does he do? He drops his glove. How Tyson Jost does not read the room and understand his goddamn role in this league? Your role is to take that guy off the ice. I don't give a shit if you have your nose broken and bent to the other side of your face. You will do that because that's what you have to do.
You don't, but they do. They do. They do care. Dylan Cousins hasn't been the same since Hathaway fucked him up at the start of the year.
I agree with that.
You know,
and I think Dylan Cousins. How many times has Dylan Cousins fought this year?
Once.
I know, and that kid should have 5 to 7 fights a year. He does not. He should not be fighting.
Doesn't have
Dylan
any
Hathaway.
Bite. Doesn't have any trash talk. Doesn't open his fucking mouth during a game.
How are you supposed to have trash talk?
What?
How are you supposed to have trash talk?
Not even trash talk. Just fuck you. I'm going to rip your fucking head off next shift or something like that.
Yeah. Zemgus Girgensson, love his energy. He's been brought back here for years and years and years, signed to the Pegula, you know, cherry contracts. I watch him. He does nothing for this hockey team, because you can go and find a player just like Zemgus Girgensson, pay him half the money that Zemgus Girgensson is making right now, and this kid is going to be hungry. He's going to play 10 times more physical, and he's going to know his role. He's going to know that he's going to have to fight. He's going to have to be highly physical. If you're down a goal or two, you're going to go out there and try and irritate the other team and get something going to maybe spark your own teammate. Just like Evander Kane did when they went down 2-0, the very next shift, he drives down the left-hand side. He takes a real soft shot on net on Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. But what does he do right after he shoots it on net? He drives right to the front of the net. Ends up bumping with Owen Power, who I thought literally was like going to cry because someone, you know, stole his lunch. And Jordan Greenway is in front of the net. And I'm sitting there thinking, that is the time where you need to step up and say, you're not going to do this in front of our net. You're not going to try and intimidate us. You need someone to step up in that position. We have nobody. We have nobody willing. It is such a joke. Then I'm sitting there watching. Do you remember Connor McDavid drives the net? People are going to remember this. People are going to go back and they're going to, oh, shit, I got to go back and see this. Connor McDavid, the best player in the world, drives the net. The whistle blows in front of our net. What does he do? He gives a shot to Tyson Jost. Okay. Jacob Bryson. Gives a shot to Jacob Bryson. And gives him another push. And Jacob Bryson literally won't even look at him in the eye. And then Connor McDavid grabs him around the back of the head and just holds him like he's just calling him his bitch. And I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, this is the best player in the world. How are you not literally trying to rip his face off right now? This is part of the game that the Sabres do not have in their game. They have no players that are willing to do anything outside, fantasy hockey, where they're just like, you know, there's no hitting and there's no rough stuff. You want to know why this team loses games? Because there is zero, toughness. It is so bad. I can't even begin to tell you. I can't begin to tell you how in shambles I think this team is.
Yeah, well, I know a real team that's not in shambles, though. And that's Celino Law. They've got their team put together. They've got their fighters there ready to fight for you. And all they want for you to do is, if you've been hurt in a car crash or need a personal injury attorney, pick up the phone and call the Yates. 888-888-8888. Go with the team with a winning record and great chemistry. Go with Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino. So let me read you a tweet from Ben Mathewson. Okay. This is, to me, this is the tweet. This is everything that you need to read, and it's well put. It's in a classy manner. He comes from a fan's perspective, and he writes, "The Sabres are the most unserious franchise in sports. A literal joke top to bottom. Such a joke that it's basically a meme for most other NHL fans to tongue-in-cheek cheer for the adorable little Sabres who are trying their darndest to compete with real teams." Then he writes, "Terry Pegula has owned the Sabres for roughly 25% of their existence, and his tenure accounts for 50% of their playoff misses." That is fucking astounding. I honestly think sometimes Terry Pegula owns this team just to fuck with the fans, because there is no desire to win a Stanley Cup here. There is no desire, because there are no funds going into this team. Owner cheapness by signing contracts and signing all these things and all, but the salary cap and all that shit and revenues and HRR and profit sharing and all that stuff all helps cover all that up. But where you're missing the point is having a real front office, having a real fucking scouting staff, having a real skating coach, having real coaches.
Well, the standard just has to be that losing in the National Hockey League is unacceptable. Okay. That to me is what has basically taken me and broken me right now. Cause I remember playing in this league. I played a long time in this league, and every single year the focus was one thing, and that's to win hockey games. Everything is about winning. It's not about fucking developing players. You go develop in the minors, go develop in junior hockey or over in Europe. Once you get to this league, it is about winning. Put a goddamn team together. I'm so sick and tired of him talking about, oh, JJ Paterka scored 2 goals tonight. And you know what? He could have had 2 more. And he's learning from his, oh my God, if I hear that one more time, we are literally like a minor league team that is just, we develop our players, and then they literally lose their marbles. Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart, Ryan O'Reilly. I mean, you could go on and on and on. Montour last year had 73 points. Here in Buffalo, we didn't even play him. He was a healthy scratch some nights. They've made so many bad decisions in this organization. It's mind-blowing. And I'm sitting there watching a team that Kevin Adams has had for 3+ years, and it almost looks like the team is either in quicksand or it's just not made up the right way. This team has incredible pieces. There's no question about it. They have incredible pieces, but this team is not a team that can win. This team is not a playoff team. We're not about making the playoffs. That's what the fans want. The fans literally want to just make the playoffs, to get that feeling. Fuck that. I don't want to make the playoffs. I want to put a team together that's going to have a chance to win the Stanley Cup. This team is so far from that. It is off the chart.
This fucking Ben Mathewson is winning me over today, man. I don't know him at all. I don't think I've ever met him. But this guy is, he's
on
it.
You think Kevin Adams,
passionate fucking
season,
hockey fan. He's been covering this team for years. I've seen his stuff before, you know. But my God, like, it's just when people are starting to say things, the same things that we are saying, and they're not saying it because we're saying it, because I don't necessarily think that Ben Mathewson listens to our podcast. I think Ben Mathewson watches the fucking team. We are going to get to Casey Mittelstadt's comments, because I just feel like this guy just keeps sending like fiery arrows over our castle walls, just blowing up our shit.
But I don't think he's doing it with
He's not doing it with spite.
Vindictive.
Yeah. It's not out of spite. It's just fact. He's just stating facts about the difference of what he saw. Like, holy shit, man. I thought the same thing when I went to New Jersey. And I bet if you were to ask Thomas or Derek or, I mean, yourself, you fucking came to from other organizations that were a very high class and reputation.
Played in Montreal, where every single year that I pretty much played there, we were never a bottom team, ever. We were always a team that was basically right in the playoff picture. And a lot of times we made the playoffs. And, you know, there was a couple times where we had the type of team with character and grit that we ended up picking off the President's Trophy winners that year in the Boston Bruins. It was the number one team in the league. And then, you know, a couple years later, we made the playoffs and we played Boston again. That was the number two team in the league and beat them in seven. I mean, I've been on teams that are the middle of the road, just good, solid teams all around. And then I played on San Jose Sharks that were literally one of the top teams in the league. You know, and that's just a different environment. In general, the team is extremely close. The competitiveness and the speed in which you practice is completely off the chart. Our practices were short, but highly intense and competitive. And then the coach kicked us off the ice after we beat the shit out of each other. Not these long practice. Let's work on your wind timers. Let's work on this. Let's work on things out of the corner. Let's work on... No. We practiced like we played. You're a very tough team to play against.
He's not practicing today. It's a rest day. It's a rest day for him. Donnie, every fucking practice, rest day, rest day, rest day, rest day. I don't think training camps here are very tough. I don't think practices are very tough. I think this team is supremely out of shape compared to other teams in the league and what it actually takes to feel like, you know, to come down to the end of a game and finish a game. Yeah. Just don't think they have it in them. I think, you know why they end up playing well later in the season? Because they actually catch up to shape.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal. Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You know what time of year it is? It's March Madness time, and I have two words for you. Hoops Hangout. Starting Thursday, March 21st through Sunday, March 24th, and Saturday, April 6th, it's the college basketball tournament watch parties at Seneca Niagara.
Catch college basketball tournament action with your friends during March and April in your one-of-a-kind viewing area at Seneca Niagara. To reserve your spot, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
The reason why I say that about the team and their conditioning is directly from Casey's quote. The most impressive thing about this team, in my opinion, is the speed at which they play at and the speed which they practice at. It is intense and demanding, and I'm very thrilled to be a part of it. I don't think he's had any practice. Sounds like he hasn't had anything like that remotely close in Buffalo in his time here. That's concerning, Craig. It's not a shot. Now, people are listening to Casey's interviews and stuff, and he made a comment about morning skate. I haven't sweat that hard in a long time. Well, fuck, people are like, oh, it's a shot of the team. I don't know, maybe not. I mean, he had a morning skate, which might have been a harder morning skate than usual, but he's also at 5,280 feet, so it's going to be 10 times harder than any practice he's had on any other team.
Yep.
So maybe that's all he meant by that. But this is different. This isn't a shot at the team. It's a testament and a compliment to the team that he's on. But at the same time, it's a bit of a backhanded compliment. Actually, no, it's not a backhanded compliment. It's a backhand on the Sabres. It basically states that their practices are a joke. Their speed in practices are a joke. Their speed in games is a joke. I mean, he's not the fastest guy to begin with, but that's not necessarily what that means. I did not like reading that.
I really hate to use this terminology, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's just what I feel right now and what I've heard. It's almost like the Sabres have a country club where other guys are getting paid lots of money and they're being coached hard and demand the players to play well because the expectations of the team is to win games. And if you are not going to play the expectations that is going to help us win hockey games, then you will either be sat or removed or traded and you will build from here. But we're in a situation here that I just find there's so many complacent. It's such a soft environment. Very cushiony. Now, these players, from what I have heard, love to be with each other. This is a real tight team. I've been told that, and I like to hear that. But that is something should be happening away from the game, which I think it is. But when these young men, and I say young because it's the youngest group in the National Hockey League, when they come to the rink, they need to feel uncomfortable. I do not think they feel uncomfortable. The top guys need to feel uncomfortable because the top guys is going to be what drives this ship. They are the ones setting the standard in which how we're going to do things on and off the ice. Once you leave, I don't care what you do. If you want to go play PlayStation with the boys, do whatever the hell you want. But when you're at the rink, it should not be a comfortable environment. It should be hard. Guys should know that once they step foot in the rink, that they need to take care of themselves because it's going to be a tough day's work. And when they leave, they do what they want. And I do not feel that that's the environment that's here right now. And I'm going to tell you why. It's very clear to me. I have watched, and you're going to be like, Rivs, come on, just take a deep goddamn breath. But I'm going to say it anyway. I have watched Jeff Skinner, who is the, second or third leading point producer on this team. And everybody's happy with Jeff Skinner's point totals and goals. But if you watch him play the game, I have never seen a lazier player. He does not work. He does not back check. He is a terrible defensive player. Yeah. I don't understand how this is okay in a winning environment. So I have a problem with that. You have young, influential players that are basically watching this that are like, I'm just going to do what he does because he makes $9 million. So worst $9 million player in the league times 100. And this team will not win with players that play this style in the lineup. Now, a lot of people love Jeff Skinner. A lot of people love Jeff Skinner. He scores goals. But there is so much more to building a team than just having a pure goal scorer that literally will not work. He does not hit. He does not grind. He
I really believe you could trade him for half his fucking salary. I believe it. 995 games. I cannot fucking wait for him to hit 1,000 games. So I can look at his stats. And listen, I played no playoff games. I want you to know that. I'm well aware I played no playoff games. But I'm going to tell you something. I played on three pretty fucking unbelievable teams that made it to the playoffs. So I will take that over 1,000 games and no playoffs any day of the fucking week. This guy's never been on a winning team. He doesn't know anything about a winning culture. He doesn't know anything about a playoff race. He doesn't know anything about a push at the end of the season to make the playoffs. You know what he knows? You know, pack his shit by mid-April and get the fuck off to his summer place. It's all he fucking knows. It's all he knows. He might be a great guy. Might be a great guy, but from the professional athlete standpoint, I don't give a fuck about Jeff Skinner. Take all your money in the world. All the money in the world. You've clearly done a great job for yourself, setting yourself up for life. But at the same time, what a shitty fucking legacy.
People may think I'm nuts, but I'm going to tell you right now, I would send Jeff Skinner to the minors, and I would bring up Yari Kulich, and I would have Yari Kulich play and gain experience in the National Hockey League, knowing that he has got a very long track to play well and be an NHL player, and give him a little bit of experience playing, because the season is over and there's still 11 games left. And for me, I'm going to tell you right now, it's called addition by subtraction. I don't care about Jeff Skinner's goals. I don't care. I got people that send me every time Jeff Skinner goes and scores his goal, I get a tweet from them with, the goal song that he has at home, and just kind of rub it in. And I laugh at it. It's not a big deal to me. I don't really care, but I am irritated because I want to win. And maybe I'm the one who doesn't know. Maybe Kevin Adams is sitting there thinking, I think I can win with Jeff Skinner in this lineup. I think I can win with our players not playing physical. I think I can win. Okay. I think I can win with no toughness in the lineup. I think I can win with two defensemen that are 5'9" and 5'11" in your third pair that are role players. Like, you can go on and on. Paul Hamilton 3 months ago said this, that this team's not put together properly. And it's a problem. It's a problem because we're going into year 13, and at the end of this year, there is not going to be a good taste in your mouth. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I was watching Rasmus Dahlin last night. He ended up getting scored on, and I think it was the seventh goal. The seventh goal. They scored 5 goals in one period. The seventh goal was scored, and Dahlin was absolutely furious after the goal. And immediately, I feel for this kid so badly. And the first thing that came to my mind was what, Petey?
Save him.
Jack Eichel.
Oh.
Jack Eichel. Okay, I know that Jack Eichel wanted to be a Buffalo Sabre, but you can only hold on to your career for so long and try and drive a ship, and every year it feels like you're sinking deeper. There's going to be a point in time where you're going to hit Dahlin's breaking point. I only he's 23 years old. And he still has a lot of track left in him, but they need to do something to help this team. Kevin Adams has an incredible job ahead of him, a very difficult job ahead of him in the summertime. Because there's a large amount of players that should not be in this lineup if you want to win hockey games.
Okay, all this anger will bring us to our crash course presented by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino. Call 888-888-8888. Bit of a car wreck last night for the Sabres in the third period. I get the feeling, and I have this feeling that UPL might be getting a little run down. Does it look that way to you? Some uncharacteristic goals from Detroit, and then last night, I'm not pinning last night on him and by any means, but he looks like he could be getting a little bit run down.
I don't think very many of those goals from last night have anything to do with him. I mean, if you were to go and watch these goals, you're just going to literally flat out look at how bad the forwards back checked into the zone. Defensemen were super soft in front of the net. It was just a complete, it's almost like the team quit. That's what it looked like. It looks like they're wounded. I don't know if they're feeling a ton of pressure. I don't know what's going on, but you could definitely feel that there was something that just, I don't know, a breaking point almost with this team. But I don't think that this is on UPL. I think he has played so exceptionally well. He is the one bright spot on this team that you can truly say, thank God that he showed up this year, or it would have been, we would be in the top, we would be in the bottom five of this league again if we did not have UPL in the last, since January 1st. And is he getting tired? Well, very possibly he could be getting tired, but here's what I want you to think about. If you feel that UPL has identified himself as the number one goaltender moving forward on this team, UPL has not played, you know, more than, what, 37 games in a season? Right? You want to play him. You want him to be fatigued. You want him to learn how to fight through that fatigue. Okay. The last game, I'm going back to his statistics, literally to when he was like a kid in Sweden. And I look at the most games that he has played since 2013, which is like, you know, 11 years ago. The most games that he has played in a season was when he played in the OHL for the Sudbury Wolves. He played 53 games that year. And since then, the most games he's played has been 35 in Rochester Americans in 2001-2002. So this year in the NHL, he's played 45 games. He's played the second most amount of games that he's ever played, which is basically half a season. I would want to continue to push on UPL. I would want him, for his body and his brain, to understand fatigue, to understand how to play this many games. I would not pull back on him. I would keep going on him, because you want him to develop into playing and understanding how to play these games, this many games. He's 25 years old. He's at a perfect age. Now you just want him to continue to understand how to play this many games. Do you agree with that? Yes.
Yeah, I think he needs to get a feel for it, for sure. I think especially now that the season's over, you may as well play him all the time. But you know what's going to happen? Golden Boy is going to get in there. Levi's going to play. They're going to, you know, that's just how it's going to work.
Well, will he?
I would imagine.
Think they'll bring him up I think they'll bring him up for a couple games. They should bring him up for a couple games. But
does he play the next game in Calgary, or is that UPL's game?
I would think it'd be UPL. I would definitely, unless the Sabres are throwing the white flag and just saying, you know what? We did our best, but we've come up short, and now all of a sudden we're going to be in a mindset that we need to play players for development purposes. Like I sit here and
that has literally been the story of the Sabres for the last 13 years. Let's see how many players we can just give games to. Here's a game. You take a couple games, you get some games.
Petey, last night, Jordan Greenway, do you know how much he played last night? 22:38 total ice time. 22:38. Do you know how much Jeff Skinner played last night?
I think it was
$9 million player.
11 minutes.
11:21. They're trying to win. Cage Thompson played 19. Alex Tuck played 22:42. JJ Paterka, 19:15. The top line played. The second line. Zach Benson, an 18-year-old kid, played 1938. Jordan Greenway, 2238. Dylan Cousins, 2042. And then it drops off tremendously. Victor Olofsson, 1021. Jeff Skinner, 1121. Peyton Krebs, 1050. Jost, 854. Rusick, 7. The difference between the top two lines and the bottom two lines, it's big. And I mean, at this point in time, when we have 13 years of losing, our second line right now, our second line is basically Dylan Cousins, Zach Benson, and Jordan Greenway. I sit there and I think to myself, how have we come to this?
Yeah. Well, what it comes down to is really just, for me, this conversation is more about how they're going to handle the goaltending toward down the stretch here.
That's the least of our worries. It was the biggest worry at the start of the season, and now it's the least
not really,
of our worries.
We need
right
to
now.
We need to go into next year knowing what our goaltending situation is. Do we not?
No, I'm not worried at all.
You're telling me that UPL can't play himself into a more lucrative contract or a less lucrative contract in the last bunch of games here? Or do you think his next contract is already set?
I think it's already stated flat out, he's going to be on a bridge deal. They're not going to make him a long-term contract guy. They're not going to pay him a shit ton of money. He's going to be on a nice bridge deal that's good for him, that he's going to make a little bit of money, but it's going to be good for the Sabres also. And you're not going to put that money into a goaltender. That's just the way it is. And Devin Levi, very possibly there could be a 1-2 tandem unless one guy really kind of gets hot where you might want to lean to him throughout the season. I think you could see Devin Levi and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen playing together as a 1-2 tandem next year. And I'm fine with that because I think we have identified UPL as basically your starter. And I'm good with that. I feel confident with that. And Devin Levi will play a very strong supporting role. And if Devin Levi goes hot, then you're going to ride Devin Levi. That's the way I would do it because winning is critical next year in next year's season. I'm more worried about the lineup and the decisions that they have to make for this team next year because no one's knocking down the door to say, hey, can I please come to Buffalo? Kevin Adams is going to have to be, man, it's going to be a tough. Listen, the Casey Mittelstadt trade, I love it. I think Bowen Byram looks the part. I think he's exactly what this team needs. The second half of the defense core, I mean, we need a different style than the softness of a Joki Haru, Owen Power. I think Byram and Dahlin actually play with a little bit of grit, but our third pair defense should be big and mean, man. Big and mean. Very aggressive. They're going to be defenders, and they're going to be guys that can skate, but they're going to be physical, and they're going to be mean.
I think a pair of bone-crushing defensemen on the back end, I think, would definitely help this team and help the goaltending as well. I really do. Two solid defensive defensemen that actually make people afraid to go to the front of our net. That's kind of what you're looking for here. And I think that alone will help the goaltenders. Let me ask you this. How many games will we see Levi between now and the end of the year?
11 games. I think you'll see him at least three.
How many games has UPL played this year?
50 games, maybe. I can tell you right now he's played 45. He's played 45. I'd like to see him up around 50 to 52 games, and a few games will get distributed to probably Comrie for his farewell tour, and Devin Levi, I think, needs to play a couple NHL games himself.
All right. I want to see obviously UPL play 50 plus games. And then I think if your season's over, you can give the other games to Comrie. Send Levi to Rochester. Let him finish the season there. Be on a strong finish. Play in the playoffs. And then start fresh next year with probably UPL and Levi as your two goaltenders.
And I wouldn't have a problem with that at all. I think that would be pretty strong, pretty impressive, very young in goalie standards, but
inexpensive.
Somewhat inexpensive, yes.
Well, you're going to be looking under $5 million for both of them, for sure.
Well, UPL's not getting under five million. What are you talking about?
Well, UPL could get as high as 3.5. I could see him getting 4.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah,
and then Levi's going to be making $1 million. $800,000, $900,000.
Perfect. Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, you're talking combined.
Combined. Yeah.
Okay.
Combined.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, combined.
I feel you. Yeah. I listen. I mean, things are looking good. Things are brightening up in Sabreland. You got two goaltenders. They're young and feel confident with both of them moving forward.
All right. That'll do it for Crash Course presented by Celino Law. Car crash. Call Celino. Call the 8s. 888-888-8888. Quickly before we get out of here, have you seen the Tesla Cybertrucks? Do you like them?
No.
Not at all?
Not at all. I don't like the look of them at all.
Really?
Very futuristic, maybe in...
It's like something you would see them put on Mars and drive around Mars. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it's kind of what the whole purpose of it was to kind of look like a space truck. I mean, this thing is unbelievable. I can't believe you don't like this. If I was playing in the NHL, I would absolutely have one of these. If I could afford one of these things, I'd have one of them. I think they're unbelievable. What about the Rivians? Have you seen the Rivians?
Yeah, I have. Doesn't do anything for me.
So electric vehicles aren't your thing, I guess, eh?
Not at all. Okay. Not at all. I would never in a million years buy an electric vehicle.
Okay. All right. I think they're cool. I think they're cool. And I think I saw a video the other day where Tesla's coming out with a sports car that goes from like 0 to 60 in 1 second, which sounds absurd. Yeah. But go do your research on that. And you tell me, wait till you see this car, man.
What am I going to do with a car that goes 0 to 60 in 1 second? Like, what am I going to do with that?
Well, beat somebody off a light. That's for sure. It's called the Tesla Roadster. 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds. Unbelievable. Anyway, that'll do it for After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Reminder, Hoops Hangout coming up, a lot of things coming up. Eclipse Watch Parties coming up, all at Seneca. SenecaNiagaraCasino.com for more information on everything going on at Seneca and all their properties over the next couple months. Lots going on. Go check it out.